And now to the question of whether heat waves should have names. Would we take blistering temperatures more seriously? It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The World Health Organization says heat waves are among the most dangerous natural hazards, but rarely receive adequate attention because death tolls and destruction aren't always obvious. Join in with your thoughts on how to convey the risk of deadly temps. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Nick Tamaro is Emergency Preparedness and Environmental Health Director for the Milwaukee Health Department. Nick, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks very much. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, census surveys say more than 36,000 Milwaukee area households are without air conditioning. So what are the risks of living without air conditioning?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate being able to be on and talk about this. You know, early on in the season, we really try to message that people just need to kind of remind themselves that this time of year, we really face significant dangers in heat events. We've already had two heat advisories this year. So we at the Milwaukee Health Department, we work closely with the Milwaukee County Office of Emergency Management. We convene what used to be the Milwaukee Metropolitan Area Heat Task Force, and now we've kind of morphed into what's called the Milwaukee Extreme Weather Task Force. But you know, individuals in these significant events need to be aware of the signs of heat exhaustion, heat stress.
Explain the link between extreme weather and equity. How are marginalized groups more impacted by extreme weather? And what can be done to reconcile that unfairness between people who have the resources to stay cool or to stay warm and those who don't?
You know, your initial comments hit it right on the head that we do have, tens of thousands of households without air conditioning in our area. So this task force that we convene really is a group of organizations that focus on those who are more vulnerable in the area. So that we operationalize to pull together organizations, local health departments, other governmental organizations, healthcare organizations. We work with the utilities, response organizations like American Red Cross, Impact 211. So these are organizations and entities that provide resources, information, support to those who don't have resources like air conditioning, places to stay cool at home. So one of the key things we do is certainly public messaging. We work with 211. We create a list every year and we update it really within every event of sites where people can go to cool off. So we call them cooling centers, but sometimes I think that's kind of a phrase that people don't always understand. Mm-hmm. So we try to explain that these are public sites. These are things like public libraries, malls, senior centers, other community centers, other organizations that shelters, et cetera, where people can go to cool off when you do not have air conditioning at home.
Something that I've always noticed about cooling centers is you're taking people away from their own surroundings, away from their home, what they would normally be doing, and kind of putting them in, kind of like a holding pattern in a way, because of the extreme heat. And I'm just wondering what can be done at cooling centers to ensure that people are not only cooled off, and that is, of course, the purpose, but that they can still feel like they're doing things and that they're engaged with their world.
You know, I think that when we look at the places that we're recommending, libraries, malls, you know, certainly a lot of these public spaces where people can go, splash pads. So we really encourage people to utilize those resources in the community. We're working on ways to support individual households as well. We have some philanthropic organizations that have stepped up this year to purchase individual air conditioning units. And we've been working with entities like Milwaukee County Housing, Impact 211, to serve those households in on individual basis. Those are the types of efforts that I think as a community we're coming together and working among our different organizations to really try to be innovative and come up with good ways to support the community. But individual sites would specifically look at how they can keep people comfortable during these events and provide those types of activities when they're coming to those cooling centers.
I want to talk about communication, because when I look at weather, say on my phone, and I swipe through the cities where I've lived, it can be unusually hot, say 96 in Madison. And, you know, there's heat cautionary weather language on my phone. And, you know, my smart speaker is going off with warnings. But that same temperature in, say, Shreveport, Louisiana, is just another day. No warnings, no nothing weather language. With that. So why is that? People are people. They're going to be affected by heat in the same way, regardless where that heat event is. Why the difference?
Well, I agree with you. There really is no difference. I mean, as physiologically, people are going to be affected in similar ways. You know, when you look at heat exhaustion, you have symptoms of heavy sweating, paleness, tiredness, weakness, dizziness, headache, nausea, vomiting, you know. So I think people in those warmer climates are more acclimated. That's why in Wisconsin, the start of the season here, we really try to message well for awareness and things that people should watch for. And the other thing that people really have to focus on is the heat index. So we are a climate where the temperature along with humidity are really the key things. That heat index is really what drives our heat health advisories, our heat health watches and warnings. So there's really specific thresholds that we work with the National Weather Service to define what we know based on you know, a person's experience in those types of conditions.
Nick Tamaro leads emergency preparedness as environmental health director for the Milwaukee Health Department. Join in on communicating excessive heat, how to save lives, what you've experienced in heat waves, 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Milwaukee is among a handful of cities around the country exploring ways to use weather data and public health information to categorize heat waves. Join in on what you think of this, whether you pay attention to heat advisories, 800-642-1234. The Milwaukee Health Department's Nick Tamaro heads up emergency preparedness and environmental health, guiding us through his city's heat health thresholds and with us for about 10 more minutes. So, Nick, a city in Spain is the first city to name heat waves like scientists would do with hurricanes, like Hurricane Katrina or Rita. Names are intended to help raise awareness. What do you think about this?
You know, this is the first time hearing about it. I think it's pretty novel. I think when you think about our climate in Milwaukee, wouldn't be the first thing you think about, but I like it. You know, I think I love your point that I when you hear about these advisories, do people really listen to them? So I think it's something that could get people's attention. Heat waves, you know, when you think about past events, and obviously this was a long time ago, but 1995 is really one of the events that spurred our organization around this, what was a heat task force, now an extreme weather task force. The polar vortex is really what pushed it into an extreme weather task force.
And the name change there.
Yeah, the polar vortex of 2019. What some people might not remember is we had 91 deaths in a heat wave in 1995. That was a time period where Chicago had over 700 deaths. And it's something that, unfortunately, I think really can sneak up on people. And if we don't remember kind of really basic but critical needs within these types of events, where temperatures in 1995 during that stretch, during July, reached over 100 degrees for 2 days in a row. And the minimum temperatures are also something that people need to consider, that when you cannot cool off, when your body, core body temperature just does not go down during a time period over a couple of days, because that heat index and temperature overall does not decrease sufficiently, people can really get into trouble quickly, and I think it can really sneak up on people. So one of our key messages always, and when you bring up vulnerable populations, we think a lot about the elderly, we think about young children, and just so thinking about friends, family, loved ones, and being aware of who might need help in these types of events, who might be home, who might not have the ability to get safely to a cool area. So really just exceptionally important when we reach these thresholds that people are helping themselves and helping each other to be safe.
You mentioned the heat index earlier and the Milwaukee heat coordination plan using the National Weather Service data to split heat events into several categories. Why is the system using a heat index rather than the actual temperature?
You know, I think yesterday was a perfect example where we were in the low 90s, but I was out in the afternoon a fair bit, certainly a warm day. We did not reach threshold for a heat health advisory because the humidity was not as high. It was a windy day, and that really helped to keep things a little bit more cool. Whereas if you compare our two heat advisory days this year, that was higher humidity, and we reached a heat index of over 100. So, and I think if people would think about it, it felt very different between those heat advisory days and yesterday. So really just a key factor in how we respond physiologically to heat and humidity.
I'm thinking about back in 1995 and those deaths that you talked about in that heat wave, and just how technology has changed so much. There was no such thing as social media. Reaching people in 95 would have been vastly different than it is today. I'm just wondering, what are new ways of reaching people when there is, these extreme weather events?
Agreed. You know, certainly social media is going to be important. We have studied this. We did a CDC tool. It's called a CASPER, a Community Assessment for Public Health Emergency Response. What it is an epidemiologic tool where Department of Health Services led it, but it was in Milwaukee. We were in a number of neighborhoods across the city doing a survey. The interesting thing is that a lot of people are still getting their messaging and information from things like radio and TV. And so everyone always talks about social media, but I would stress that oftentimes, you know, perhaps even those who might be more vulnerable, elderly and children, we can't rely on social media for all of that. So again, we have to be thoughtful about who is most at risk and make sure that we're thinking of them and messaging appropriately. For us and the organizations we work with, again, Impact 211, just an outstanding and critical resource for the community for reaching all kinds of resources. But during heat events, that's a key number for people to call to seek assistance. And then thinking about
That's okay. No worries. Let me reintroduce you here as we talk about planning for heat waves with Nick Tamaro, Emergency Preparedness and Environmental Health Director for the Milwaukee Health Department. You can join in on how much you listen to those heat advisories, what they mean to you. Do you pay attention in heat waves? How do you prepare? 800-642-1234. Nick, we heard from Phil in Whitewater, called in, couldn't stick around. And they say that many older buildings in the Milwaukee area often have windows that are painted shut, which really limits the amount of natural airflow in a house or an apartment building. And they say code enforcement is really key to fighting these heat waves. What would you say there?
Agreed. Yeah, certainly if you're working with a landlord or a property that is not up to code, certainly, you know, windows that are painted shut is not okay. So Department of Neighborhood Services and, you know, a call to a governmental agency to really have an inspection and ahead of time to really correct those types of problems in a home if you're renting.
There sometimes is adequate time to prepare for extreme weather events, but, you know, snowstorms and low temperatures can also give meteorologists a bit more of a problem. They can be a little bit more tricky in forecasting. And I'm just wondering, what about extreme heat? Is that easier for them to get right in order to prepare people to take precautions?
It is. And so we work closely with the National Weather Service. Tim Halbach has been just an incredible partner. He's the warning coordination meteorologist. He's taught me and you know, others I work with that temperature is one of those things that they're able to predict much more consistently. So not a perfect science, but just when you look at the modeling and I think people joke, but when you look at what organizations like the National Weather Service are able to do to give us the information they do, it's pretty incredible. So heat and extreme heat and extreme cold are something that we can have more of a heads up on and can prepare for, as opposed to things like, you know, your perfect example of snow, highly unpredictable. And, you know, I was a kid with Tim that I loved to cross country ski. So I wish he was better at predicting snow. But definitely with heat, we generally have a heads up. And then if we have an advisory or warning out and we get a reprieve, that's a welcome change.
I want to circle around in our last few moments here to the Milwaukee Metropolitan Extreme Weather Task Force. What is the next step for the members here on this work? What are you working toward?
Yeah, a couple of key things I want to highlight. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Dan Buckler is an urban forester, and he's bringing a Milwaukee heat mapping campaign to the state here. So that's taking place this summer. So mm-hmm. It's really, residents are volunteering to go out on certain routes throughout the city with equipment to map out the city. We also created, along with the Department of Health Services at the state level, we work closely with the Climate and Health Program, a heat vulnerability index. So that really allows us to map the whole city mm-hmm. and region to look at the most vulnerable areas. So we use that information to really target our outreach and target resources. Just exceptionally important to be able to reach those that are going to be most in need.
Nick, thank you for joining us.
All right. Thank you very much for the time.
Nick Tamaro, Emergency Preparedness and Environmental Health Director for the Milwaukee Health Department. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.